Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Dr. Leonard Carr, he's a clinical psychologist, and I wanted to ask him about this. Are we a generation that doesn't want to take responsibility? Are we allergic to it? Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Morning, all. Very good, thanks. And you?
Excellent, thank you. It's interesting because we've started talking about, and it's been quite an intense conversation around government and the responsibility that they have sending money to Cuba when South Africans are starving. But what this does indicate is there doesn't seem to be a willingness. Now, of course, that's on a government level, but we see this in our own families, in our own lives. How comfortable are we with taking responsibility and with introspection?
Yeah, I think the world is becoming more and more self-centered, narcissistic, and that goes together with not taking responsibility, attributing blame to others, etc. And I think children are being raised to become increasingly self-centered and not willing not only to take responsibility but even to reflect on their behavior and to take ownership of their participation in circumstances that they're involved in.
It's fascinating you say that because I have seen that with kids, and it's certainly even one of my own kids. I had a conversation with them the other day where they told me about something, a comment that a teacher made and how offended she was by it because the teacher didn't take into account what she was feeling that particular day. And I said,
right.
Your teacher's not your parent, they're not your psychologist, they're not a family member or even your friend. They're responsible
right.
for teaching you. They actually don't need to delve into your innermost feelings to decide how to talk to you on any particular day. And it was
right.
unfathomable. We were so far apart in that conversation. And it
right.
did disturb me a bit.
Well, there's another element in that, and that is giving your feelings so much power and so much, you know, privileging your feelings over other people's feelings, over circumstances, over responsibilities. It's like I feel, therefore I am.
Absolutely.
And actually what this does is it makes a person weak because actually taking responsibility and taking ownership is in a sense like a muscle that you build. And it helps you to build resilience and character. And shrinking away from it and being feelings-driven does the exact opposite.
So it's... And that's part of that, I guess, is because my feelings and my thoughts are elevated to a point of such incredible importance that everything
exactly.
else blurs.
Exactly. Even about principle. Because normally, you know, certainly from a Torah point of view, we have to subjugate our feelings and desires and emotions to higher principles. And, you know, that can be, for example, honesty, because if you can't take responsibility, you're inevitably not going to be able to be honest and straight, Yasha. Empathy, you know, a lot of other qualities flow from being able to take responsibility and ownership and accountability.
And I think it's also the ability, and I wrote this my article in this Jewish Report this week, is it bothered me what I saw over Mother's Day, that of course it's a lovely day to celebrate, and of course it's a construct, but there were so many posts from people saying, you know, the hardest day of the year for non-mothers. It's not your day. Can we just celebrate the mothers? We'll be empathetic for you for the rest of the 300 and something days of the year. Why?
Right.
I mean, mothers are guilty enough. Can we not just celebrate them? Why do
right.
you have to make it about you? And in fact, often they don't make it about them. They make it about others who are suffering, which actually is just a way of making it about them because it's virtue virtue signaling. And it's such a dangerous trend. Why can't we step aside, sit down for a little bit? When it's Christmas, I can step aside and let Christians celebrate. Why does it have
right.
to be happy holidays? It's not mine. I don't need to own it.
Right. Well, you know, just think about how many things in our culture start, and in psychology, pop psychology, start with I, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And me, and self-esteem, self-worth, you know, self. It's this whole emphasis. And I think also, you know, if you go to the roots of it, I think because parents want to be liked by their children, and which is their own narcissism. You know, to be a good parent, you have to be able to tolerate your children's hatred towards you.
Because
at times they're going to hate you. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to be angry and resent and hate you. And if you need to be liked all the time because you can't tolerate their negative feelings, you're going to go out of your way to keep them happy and comfortable. And in doing that, you build the expectation in them that relationships are about other people keeping you happy and comfortable. Plus, you're never demanding from them that they have to show up. And so they never discover their own resources, their own strength and resilience and courage and talent and all of that to show up. So the overprotection also gives them a complete lack of confidence. And this becomes, you know, this becomes a self-perpetuating process.
So how do we deal with that? How do we begin our first steps towards creating resilient people that have the ability to look outside of themselves? I know it's a massive question.
Right. Well, I'll give two answers because there's another aspect to people not taking responsibility and to narcissism. The one, narcissism and self-centeredness and self-absorption can be created by overindulgence, but it's more often created by wounding. And so if children are shamed, you know, we have an obligation to teach children to love rebuke, to love tochacha. That's in Parshas Kedoshim. So if you in order to teach someone to love rebuke, you have to rebuke with love, and you have to make them feel like the rebuke is coming from a place of love, like you're on their side. When children are shamed and when their mistakes and lapses in judgment are attributed to who they are as people. You know, you're a lazy little so-and-so, you always lie, you're no good. When rebuke is combined with shame, a person grows up never being able to own any responsibility because in their mind, it is as if they're owning up to being a defective, evil person. And so we have to always separate the action from the person. And also see what children do that, you know, that what we would call naughty are just mistakes. They're lapses in judgment, and that we have to correct them in a loving way. So the two-pronged approach is, number one, teaching children to show up, teaching them to take responsibility, teaching them to become bigger, stronger people, more sensitive, wiser people through taking responsibility, which means that you've got to guide them to take responsibility in a loving way, and also separating, you know, actions from identity, so someone never feels shamed for the mistakes they make, no matter how outrageous, because people can do outrageous things.
Yeah, which is fascinating, because that's the double edge of it, is that it's the balance between the two. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. It's such an important conversation, and I would love to continue, but it's Friday, and I need to take responsibility and play our Friday exit song. Dr. Leonard Carr, clinical psychologist, thank you as always.